Hi, this is Linda Keith with a special audio for my National Speakers Association friends and colleagues. This is a recording of a conversation I had with Brian Keith of Redbeard Consulting. Brian is an internet marketing consultant who is responsible for all of the work for my online training site in terms of marketing, but also all the guts of it. In this recording, he was giving me some tips on how to start my podcast and some of the choices I have in how to design it. We were using Zencastr, so some of his comments are specific to Zencastr, and some are general as to how to put it together. By way of context, I am an expert in credit risk readiness, primarily training frontline lending and credit professionals on making good loan decisions. I also commissioned the 2018 Credit Risk Readiness Study, in which I interviewed 30 chief credit officers across the country. So you'll hear some things about the podcast ideas that comes from the way I plan to use it. So let's step in sort of in the middle of the audio where he's explaining some of the ways that he interacts with audiences and plans what he's going to talk about.
You'll notice there's also a chat box here. So if you needed to chat or send links or whatever, you can go send links to your guests. I typically run Zencastr on half my screen, and I have a notepad on the other half of the screen where I do brainstorming for episodes or write down notes or whatever else, so I can refer back to my notes during the call.
I've noticed sometimes when I'm listening to Brian speak, something occurs to me. I usually just have a actual pad and paper so that I don't break into what you're saying, but I don't forget to ask the question that just occurred to me. Do you use your notepad for that on the computer, or do you use something else?
I use nothing. I don't do that.
Okay.
I do all my planning beforehand, and then I do my best to listen.
Right.
While I'm on the call.
Well, I do too, but if they've just started something and so the part that's different, I guess, is that you've got a 35-year-old brain and I've got a 66-year-old brain. Because if I'm listening intently and the person says, you know, a couple minutes worth of stuff, I may very well forget the question that did come up.
You know, I think it's not brain, it's more the aesthetic vibe of the show. The last interview I did, the guy talked after my initial introduction for 6 minutes without pause. And I thought, at some point here, I'm going to have to interrupt him because he is not stopping answering my basic question. And like, on an episode that's only 15 to 25 minutes long, 6 minutes without pause is not so good. But I more go with the flow, and I'm less trying to be comprehensive. In your topic areas, you're trying to more be comprehensive and really craft a story together. I'm trying more to create really excellent marketing collateral for the guest that also is inspiring and interesting to listen to. So I'm more accepting of losing various threads that might be really interesting. Whereas you're trying to go and really tell a story.
Well, and I actually can have two kinds of people. So I happened to get an email this weekend, which I haven't responded to, and it's the first one I've gotten from like a chief credit officer saying, what are we going to do?
Oh, excellent.
What are you recommending for dealing with cash flow when clearly things have changed so much? So it's going to be a great conversation actually with him, but it really did finally make my final decision that, yeah, I should be not only talking to the people that I interviewed, but Roxanne Emmerich and the guys at SageWork and the guy at Federal Reserve Bank, who's now sent 5 people to my class and regulators and so forth. And so sometimes some of those folks like SageWorks or Roxanne are actual consultants who are similar to your situation where you're trying to get information from them, but also highlight their knowledge base. Bill Connerly about economics, for example, Rick Chess. And then others like the Federal Reserve, he just has a message to get out or wants to be helpful to banking. And then the other group is going to be the bankers themselves who simply want to be part of the conversation and part of the solution. So they're not so much trying to sell themselves as they are trying to respond to questions and maybe ask questions. I mean, one of the questions I plan to ask is, on my very next interview, what question do you hope I'll ask that you want to really hear somebody else's answer to?
It's a great idea. Also consider, after you do your interviews, listen to them once they're done and go write down any other questions you have based on the interview and consider sending those to your guests to say, here's some questions I thought of as I was listening to our interview. Do you have any thoughts you'd like to share on this that I can put in the show notes to our interview?
Okay.
And that giving people the chance to follow up in a complex topic such as yours, yeah. I think it's going to be really stellar. And you might put it in show notes, or you might make it as a blog post, or you have a lot of choices for how to get that content out there.
Now, I had already decided not to make this like a podcast that was weekly, and I'm mm-hmm. still not really clear on the difference between podcast that's weekly and blog posts, or, you know, what's the best thing to do. It feels like a podcast, you sort of made a promise to do certain numbers.
I think that's outdated thinking. It's certainly what most folks do, but I think in your case, it's better to go with the, I will release an episode when I've thoroughly examined the topic. I was listening to a guy on the drive back down from Squim, and his podcast, he was saying, it's a history podcast, history and geopolitical strategy podcast. And he says, I do an episode when I've thoroughly examined the whole thing. And he said, because I often read 3 to 5 books on a topic and I think I have a clue. And then he makes an episode, and then he reads an additional 20 to 30 books on the topic. And then he listens to the first episode, realizes this is total crap. It's completely incompetent, and he destroys it. So he has no kind of schedule. And I think the important thing is to choose one path or have your two paths be very different. Some podcasts have a main episode like on a Tuesday, and then on a Friday, they have a bite-sized one and they have a different name for it, even though it's on the same podcast channel. So the Happiness Podcasts, the Happiness Project, I think it's called, they have the Happiness Project, and that's on one day of the week, and that's an hour-ish long or half an hour long, and that's two sisters talking with each other, and there's a standard format, and it's half an hour to an hour. And then A Little Happier is a 5-minute thing on a Friday, or it's 2 minutes, okay. Right? And so you can it's totally legit to have multiple formats. In your case, ignore the regular weekly format. You may choose to do one later, but then just couch it. And you might have a standard introduction where you just say, this podcast covers these topics. It's released as needed to serve the needs of the banking industry to support the people we lend to and the United States.
So is that like the copy that's at the top of the podcast that says that?
It could be that. It could be just an introduction. I will at some point have a well thought out intro that's just a standard across all podcasts, either because I recorded it once and it got added on, or because I read the same thing every time. I like a few people. So Dr. Peter Attia, his podcast is on, it's called The Drive. It's on personal performance and medicine, more or less. And his thing says, hey, here's what we're doing. If you like what's in the podcast, I have this additional membership thing with lots of show notes. Here's where to go get it. Now let's dive into this week's episode. But it's long. It's 30 seconds or a minute of saying, here's how you can get more. Here's where to buy it. Then we have Steph Godreau, Harder to Kill. And she has a brief monologue, probably 30 seconds or a minute, that says, here's what this podcast is about. And these are both, every episode starts with the same thing, because you can't, it's bad to assume people will go listen to your episode starting with episode one, right? And it's bad to assume that people will know who you are. In your case, having a good 30 seconds to a minute intro saying, here is who I am, here's who this podcast is for, here's why I do it. I release episodes as needed to serve the banking community in our service of all the people in the United States. And now let's get started with this episode.
So what I say in there, I interview bankers, regulators, banking consultants, and others who can help, blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. So people get a sense of what can they expect on this podcast, because they might only listen to a minute and then go to a different one, right? If they like the idea, but the particular one isn't great. And also keep in mind, podcast apps are pretty good about having fast forward functions. So when I listen to Dave Asprey's podcast, I know the first 60 to 90 seconds are always ads. Mm. So I go boop, boop. I press the plus 15 second button 6 times. And in case I happen to overcome the first piece of content, I go back 15 seconds or however that is.
Huh. So what about the idea? So if I'm, there are some people I will speak to that it's a very focused thing. And I've got the first two lined up, Rick Jess and yeah. Gina Murata, and they're both on commercial real estate, and they're just knowledgeable as all get out about how to spot a problem, what to do about it, all that stuff. And Gina's cool because she was on the contractor group that went in for the FDIC. Just amazing.
You told me about her. Yeah, that's pretty wild.
So I'm very excited about that. So, but sometimes it will be a chief credit officer. And for chief credit officer, I really want almost three things. One is focus on bank management. How can a bank at this time adjust their guidelines, their mitigation strategy, their stress testing with things so unknown? What do you remember doing in the 2008-2012 timeframe that is actually relevant to now? And how is it not relevant? Then, same guy, when you're talking to your frontline people, the folks that maybe should be reaching out to the business borrowers, what are you telling them to say? Are you having them reach out? Is it written or by phone? And do you already have some resources so that when they call, it's not just a, are you going to pay me on time call, but rather we've been looking at what can help you. So there's that one. And then there's a third one. The third one is if you were putting together some information for your business borrowers that would directly help them, what would that look like or what does it look like?
So here's two ways to work that into your podcast introduction. Imagine you have your standard intro that says, here's what the podcast is in general. And then another two pieces of content that you might want to have in the introduction that could be specific to one interview. One way people do it is they record a introduction after they've finished the episode or on another day. Once you've really digested the podcast, you can do an introduction that happens after your here's what the podcast is in general, which is standard across all episodes. You have a second piece, which is separate from the interview, and it's saying, here's what's coming up in today's episode, A, B, and C, like those three questions you just asked. A third thing you can do is take an excerpt of the most punchy thing that the guest says and put that on. Maybe the very first thing people hear when they turn on the thing is it's someone it's in their voice saying, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then you have your standard introduction about who you are, what you're doing. And then the third thing is an overview of the show. And then you dive into the fourth content piece, which is the interview itself. And then maybe a fifth content piece, which is a standard outro, which you may have as a standardized across all episodes, or you may just once you're in, like an episode I did, one of the recent ones was I finished up by saying, you know, here's where to go find more about this person. Now, if you're thinking about podcasting and you'd like a team to do it for you, let me tell you a bit about the team that works on this podcast. So it was recorded live right then, but it was also not about that particular episode.
Right. Right.
And it's also easy to cut off. I could easily say, Rihanna, to go turn that into its own bumper and go put that on everything. So,
right.
There's a bunch of ideas for you.
Last question is, does it make sense to still put all those in one thing, or does it make sense to actually have three episodes? And that way the frontline people would just look at their episode. And if you're in management, you would look at yours.
Yeah, I think having three different episodes is probably smart. It's easy to cut stuff apart and you can just brief your guests beforehand saying, hey there, I have three different questions. I'm going to make them three different episodes. And then what you do is you leave a space between each episode as you're recording, because it can all be one audio file. That's fine. And then you just have a bit of a break, have a little stretch break, and then you start the next one. And you can either introduce the person again, or you can just decide you're going to do your introductions afterwards in your post-production, and you can base your introduction on part on where the conversation leads.
Right, right. So if it turns out that somewhere in that conversation they gave the three best action steps to do whatever, then maybe they want that in the intro.
Yep. And then you can say, you're going to listen to my conversation with Rick Chess because you're going to learn the three best action steps that frontline bakers can take to go help their borrowers succeed and make sure that every time they talk to a borrower, it's not just about where's the money, but they're actually helping their people succeed. Welcome to the show, Rick Chess.
Great.
There's a lot of good post-production stuff you can do to create. I'm looking at myself doing both the techniques of excerpting out the most important soundbite, but then also having an introduction that I record after I've really thought about the podcast that goes in deep on what exactly are you going to learn out of this. Those ones are just end up being, and then if there's even a little bit of transition music, it ends up being really, really sweet. Ooh. Yeah. If it's really in line with your brand, whatever that feels like.
Where do you put the transition music, just in between?
Sometimes it's just between each of these segments we've talked about. Sometimes like Mike Mutzel, when he has his punchy few sentences from the guest. He has his branded music going on in the background very softly. And as he gets towards the end of the excerpt, that music goes up. And then it's full volume, just the music for a couple seconds, like 3 to 5 seconds. And then it goes away as he reads out his introduction to the particular episode, where he dives into what you're going to learn, and that lasts for a while. And then he, I think, has the transition music again, and then it goes into the full episode.
And then probably he does it at the very end, huh?
I think so. And then some episodes have disclaimers at the end, standard legal stuff.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that.
Yeah. There's awesome. A lot to learn about podcasting.
I know. Okay.
Well, thanks, Brian. And if you want to get in touch with Brian Keith, his company is Redbeard Consulting, and you can reach him at redbeardconsulting.com.